Hello, Madison, North Florida, and everyone listening by computer. We're so glad to be able to bring you this special Christmas edition of Let's Talk About Jesus. This is Pastor Evangelist Robert Venable inviting you to stay tuned for the next 30 minutes. Time is going to go really, really quick because we're going to talk about something that is so intriguing, so interesting, that I pray you will not turn that dial right now. Praise God. We're going to talk to you today about the mystery and the majesty of Christmas. We want you to know what this is really all about today. We want you to know why all the controversy this time of year. And believe me, there's going to be controversy this year. Again, because the name of Jesus Christ is going to be brought forth into the public marketplace. And a friend of mine, that name is a name that is greatly feared by the enemy of your soul, but greatly honored by the God who wants to save and deliver us. Praise God. And Jesus simply isn't going away, and neither is the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise God. So we would love for you to stay tuned today right here on WMAF and listen to a message that will, I pray, help us to understand why all the controversy. If Jesus was nothing more than a Jewish carpenter's son that lived in a blue-collar town called Nazareth. You know what they said about Nazareth? Nazareth, where Jesus grew up, they said no good thing ever came out of Nazareth. In other words, this was a blue-collar town. No one went to college. No one went on to politics. No one became kings or potentates out of this little village. And for one solitary life to impact the world like it did, he had to be more than just a carpenter's son. And he was so much more than that. Ah, the controversy is already beginning. There's one school that doesn't even, they're so afraid the name of Jesus through the Christmas, C-H-R-I-S-T, is going to somehow show up in school, that they didn't even want them to bring red and green, anything red and green, not even a package that represents Christmas. It's incredible how paranoid we have become about this wonderful, wonderful Savior. But friend of mine, he's not going away. We're not going away. Well, we are going away when Jesus calls the church home. But until then, the world is stuck with us, and they're stuck with him, and they ought to be glad that his name is still being proclaimed, because you can literally come to Christ and be saved. Hallelujah. Amen. I'll tell you why that name brings such controversy to begin this message today, the mystery, the majesty of Christmas. It's because the Bible said there is no other name given to men under heaven by which we must be saved in the book of Acts. The enemy well knows that people can be saved and delivered from his control and his influence and his destiny one day. That we can change our course and we can set our course for heaven if we receive Jesus Christ. There's power in the name of Jesus. And it's no wonder that there is such controversy every Christmas when that name is brought out of the church setting and placed in the public arena. Praise God. I tell you, you're going to walk down a mall and you're going to hear jingle bells, but you're also going to hear, O little town of Bethlehem, how still we see thee lie. You're going to hear about a Virgin Mary and a silent night when a holy child was born. Praise God. And I'm telling you, if you take that out of Christmas, it's not going to ever be Christmas again. The commercialization of Christmas will leave you cold. Oh, but the love, the peace, the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ will warm the soul even in a time like this. Make no mistake about it, the relevance of that birth is having ramifications in the postmodern world. Praise the Lord. And it's causing quite a stir. Hallelujah. Well, we're going to read a scripture today from Isaiah 9 and verse 6. Listen carefully to this ancient prophecy fulfilled in when Jesus was born on Christmas Day over 2,000 years ago. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. One translator says, these be his royal titles. Now, friend, this wasn't just given to him at his birth. This was already his at his birth. Praise God. Hallelujah. What a mighty Savior that we have. One secular, non-Christian commentator said, if you take Christ out of Christmas, all you have left is a commercial holiday, a day for greedy marketers to mop up. And that is the truth from someone who isn't even from the Christian ilk, not even a believer in the Lord as his Savior, but a person who says, I love the message that Christmas brings concerning Jesus Christ. I love the songs that I hear that bring such comfort and consolation to the soul and give us hope that we can have love and peace prevail in spite of the wickedness and the hatred around us. Praise the Lord. I want us to remember something today as believers, that our argument is not just with flesh and blood. There's spiritual forces at work. 1 John 4 and verse 3 says, and every spirit that confesses not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof you have heard that it should come. And now, even now is at work in the world, the spirit of Antichrist. Notice this spirit is not anti-religion per se, nor anti-church, nor anti-preaching, nor anti-God in the generic sense. It is specifically Antichrist. Satan has a real problem with the Messiah, the Christ, or translated, the Anointed One, specifically Jesus. Jesus is the Anointed One. The Prince of Darkness has good reason to fear the King of Glory. Not only is his own doom sealed, he can no longer hold captive those who trust Christ as their personal Savior. You know what that means today? If you're listening to this broadcast and you haven't made Jesus your Savior and accepted him and repented of your sins so he can forgive you and save you and seal you with the Holy Spirit for the day of redemption. Today, no power of darkness, no prison house of darkness could possibly hold you back. If you choose to receive Christ as your Savior, there is nothing that can stop you from being saved. God's power will come into play. Satan's defeat will show up. Amen. And it will be clearly known that nothing he has in his arsenal of darkness can keep you from being filled with the light of the glory of God. Amen. Hallelujah. Every prison door will spring open. Hallelujah. And every captive can be set free. Remember what Jesus said when he began his public ministry? You know, Jesus only ministered for 3 years before going to the cross. What he did in 3 years shook his culture, his generation, and it's shaking cultures and our generation to this very day. Hallelujah. And he said, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me. He was quoting a prophecy, an ancient prophecy as old as this one, concerning himself, praise God. And he was saying that the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, for he has anointed me to set the captive free, to set at liberty those that are bruised, praise God. His anointing is to set people free. So if you feel that you could never become a Christian, that would be true except for this mighty one that has come to set you free. Hallelujah. You may be in chains of habits and a lifestyle that you know in and of yourself that you could never break. But there's a mighty one that was born as a baby, praise God, but grew to be a man, and at 30 years old announced, it's time for this anointing to come forth to set every captive free that wants to be free. We have a local television station and a precious lady, the former wife of the owner of the station, the founder of the station, Bob DeAndrea, Molly DeAndrea, had a program for people that was bound with all kinds of sexual sin. And the name of her program, I really loved it because it was Free If You Wanna Be. Amen. We can't force freedom on anyone from Satan's tyranny. But if anyone wants to come out of that prison house, there is a God in heaven who has made a way for you to be set free. He sent His Son, not only with an anointing to set you free, but to go to the cross to pay the price for your sins, so that every sin that we've ever committed could be forgiven. Hallelujah. Oh, the mystery and the majesty of Christmas when that baby was born in Bethlehem. It made news in hell. It shook the very corridors of hell, and it struck terror into the hearts of demon forces. And therefore, forces were let loose upon this earth to try to kill the firstborn. But they didn't touch Jesus. God warned His parents, His earthly caretakers, to take Him and flee before that happened. I'm telling you today, amen, there is a hatred and an animosity and an anger and an angst toward this Savior. Because Satan knows that if His name is proclaimed and His sacrifice on the cross is taught and preached, there are people that are going to come out of those prison houses and go free. And He wants to hold them captive, but He cannot. If you decide to be free, Jesus is anointed today and appointed today to set you free. You don't just turn over a new leaf, you get a new life. No wonder Satan has a problem with the Messiah. Hallelujah. Amen. Listen, on Christmas Day over 2,000 years ago, a son was given. God was incarnate. A baby was born a king. An infant was born a Savior. Both a lamb and a sovereign king was born in Bethlehem. Listen to the ancient prophecy in Micah 5 and verse 2. But thou, Bethlehem, Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall He come forth unto me that is to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from old, from everlasting, literally from eternity. Jesus is the wonderful Counselor, the mighty God, the everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. And before we teach any further, there is a great revival, I'm glad to report, in what it was formerly known as Red China. One report said there is as many as 20,000 people a day coming to know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior in China. Godless atheism over decades created a spiritual vacuum. And when that mighty revival began to break loose and God began to fill that hole in the human heart, so many have embraced the gospel. And a mighty move of God is on, and great persecution is coming to the church in China. Pray, if you're a Christian, for those Christians in China that are beginning to feel the wrath of the great dragon, the devil, that wants to kill the man-child, according to the book of Revelation, and hates the woman that brought him forth. Listen today, Satan is highly intimidated and has every reason to be, because God sent His Son to become our Savior. because God became incarnate. Jesus, the second person of the Godhead, came to earth, took on himself the form of a baby in a manger, but grew to be a man who would preach for 3 years. And because of what he preached and proclaimed in 3 years and what he did on the cross, nothing in this world would ever be the same. Satan would never hold captive everyone on this planet. A mighty deliverer has come, a Yeshua, Joshua. Jesus is the derivative of the Old Testament Joshua, who simply, his name simply means a Savior. And isn't that the angelic message to the shepherds? I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be unto all people. For unto you this night in the city of David is born a Yeshua, a Joshua, a Jesus, and he will save the world from their sins. Praise God. There's victory in Jesus today. There's salvation in Jesus today. One of the most familiar passages in the Bible, familiar because of its frequent appearance on Christmas cards and in Christmas sermons, is also one of the most profound and mysterious passages in all of the Bible. I'm referring to Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6 and 7. Listen to it carefully. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. The mystery is how a mere child, born like other children, could also be the Everlasting Father. The very term seems to constitute in the modern jargon an oxymoron. That is an impossible contradiction in terms. The same problem is encountered in that other very familiar Christmas verse, Micah 5 and verse 2. But thou, Bethlehem, Ephrata, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me, that is to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from old, from everlasting. That is, how could a baby be brought forth, note verse 3, from a mother in Bethlehem, when he had already been going forth from everlasting? Then consider the great prophecy of the virgin birth, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, that is in Isaiah 7:14, saying, as cited by the angel in Matthew 1:23, the same prophecy, behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. God himself with us in the guise of a virgin born child. How can such things be? What mystery and what majesty is in the message of Christmas? Jesus was with the Father from the beginning. However, he has become forever Emmanuel, God with us. He who was the very brightness of God's glory and the express image of his person, according to Hebrews 1:3, was made in the likeness of men, according to Philippians 2:8. He was one with the mighty God and the everlasting Father, but now has become one with us, made like unto his brethren, according to Hebrews 2:17. In order that he, as Emmanuel, might also become Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins, according to Matthew 1:21. He who created all things, according to Ephesians 3:9, finally created a human body in which he himself would dwell, and in which he would then die for our sins and rise again for our justification. What mystery, what majesty. The Word, that is the creating Word, according to 1 John, was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory as the glory of the only begotten of the Father, according to John 1 and verse 14. Friend, today in China, this message about this baby born on in a manger who lived to be a grown man at 30 years of age, ministered for 3 years, three short years, and at 33 years of age, was tortured, beaten, whipped, taken to a cross, impaled upon it, and hung upon it in agony for 6 hours until he said, "Tetelestai." One word that is interpreted, "It is accomplished. It is finished." Or in the legal terminology, "Paid in full." Praise God. Hallelujah. The sin debt, not the half, but the whole, has been paid in full by what Jesus did at the cross. That is the significance of this birth. It's not just a little beautiful child that is so pure and holy that causes our hearts to be so warmed, but the Son that was given, that the day He was born, He was destined to die. The shadow of the cross overshadowed the manger. One church here in Plant City a few years ago, where I live near Tampa, had a beautiful representation of the birth of Jesus Christ. They had a simple manger with the little babe lying in the manger. But they had in the forefront, maybe 10, 15 foot in front of the manger, they had a cross, just a simple wooden cross, not ornate, because all they wanted to do at night was to sit a floodlight in front of the cross and cause the cross to cast a shadow directly upon the manger. So people would get the message that the very day Jesus was born, He was born with a destiny, because He was born a king, and yet a king that was going to die as a sacrificed lamb upon the cross to forgive us of our sins. This is the incredible mystery, but at the same time, the incredible majesty of Christmas. Oh, the songwriter said it well, particularly when it was God who was the king. "Who am I that a king would bleed and die for? Who am I that he would say, 'Not my will, thine for'?" The answer, I shall never know why he would love me so. Praise God. Listen, friend, this is love like this universe could never imagine. That God would come to this earth, that His name would be called Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. And the Scripture actually said in the New Testament, to wit, God was in Jesus Christ upon the cross, reconciling the world unto Himself. You may be the black sheep of your family. There may be people in the culture that don't count you as worth much. But you know what gives you great value today? The price that was paid for you at the cross. And the fact that the God that we have offended and that we've all sinned against, in spite of ourselves and in spite of our sins, loved us enough to make a way that He could come to this earth, take on flesh, hang on the cross, and pay the full price and the full penalty for our sins so that we could be forgiven. See, God can't sweep sin under the rug. He can't just look the other way. He's holy. He's a just God. He's the judge of all the earth. He's obligated by His holiness and His justice to judge sin. So He found a way to forgive us. And the only way was to take our place on the cross. Isaiah 53 certainly is a Christmas chapter, because it talks about why this whole event took place. because Jesus came here to die on that old rugged cross. It says he was wounded in verse 5 for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquity. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All of us have gone astray, it said, but God has laid on him the iniquity of us all. Hallelujah. Oh, what a mystery. And yet, what a majesty we find in this great truth. Hallelujah. Amen. No wonder the enemy fights this. There's a revival in China, and we are told that 20,000 people a day, as many as 20,000 people a day, are coming to know Christ as their personal Savior. And one of the high-ranking officials in the hierarchy of Chinese politics and governmental body made a statement. And the statement was this: we must kill the baby while he's still in the manger. Literally, we must stop this movement, this Christian, not because Christians are trying to take over the government, but because real, authentic Christianity begins to change the culture. You know, I'm afraid here in America that the culture is beginning to affect and change Christians. It needs to be like it is in China, where Christians are beginning to affect change in the culture. Person by person, one by one, hearts are being enlightened and enlivened by the gospel of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. No wonder there's going to be swirling controversy here in America. What if we become truly committed to Jesus Christ, like those Christians who are putting their life on the line and their liberty on the line in China to follow Jesus? Ah, when we become truly committed and we live out our faith in our daily life, we boldly live out our faith, it's going to begin to touch this old tarnished culture. Light is going to shine in the dark places. Praise God. Amen. And I like the aggressive language of one evangelist: we're going to plunder hell and populate heaven. We're not going away. Praise God. Hallelujah. The Lord was born in Bethlehem, and he has alive and well today. Praise God. I serve a risen Savior. But it all started in that little city of bread called Bethlehem. Oh, how my heart leaps when all the commercialization is here, and I enjoy the whole season, but I enjoy it because I know the reason for the season. I enjoy walking in a big crowded mall, and right after Jingle Bells goes off, hallelujah, old little town of Bethlehem begins to play, and the name of our great God is proclaimed in the public marketplace. Praise God. Hallelujah. And it wouldn't be Christmas without it. You know it. I know it, even if you're not a Christian. There's peace and there's power in this great message of hope to this world that needs a message of hope, especially now more than ever. Amen. So I just pray today that if you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, that you will invite him into your heart, that you can keep Christmas this year like you have never kept Christmas in any other time in your life. And if you're a Christian today, I pray that you will put your focus on what he has accomplished for us through his birth, his death on the cross, his resurrection, his ascension, and his promise to come again real soon and receive us unto himself. Ah, Jesus is the reason for the season. Friend, this is the mystery, but this is the majesty of Christmas. I pray you'll come back next week right here on WMAF, and let's talk about Jesus. We love you. God bless you.